local church ministry was completed. Have you ever found yourselves at a crossroads in your life journey? Do you ever remember when you were feeling as you tried to make the decision of where you were going and what your next step would be? Well, I was sure what the next step was not going to be. At least I thought I was sure. And it's at those kinds of places on this life journey that we find ourselves getting surprised. And it was a surprise, to say the least, when I received a phone call from then District Superintendent Grant Haguia telling me that he wanted me to take an appointment. Now, I have to admit, friends, that I was starting to get accustomed to having complete autonomy on Sunday mornings, not having any particular responsibilities, not having to get up if I didn't want to. And when Grant told me what he had in mind, and I want to remind you, this was in the third week of May in 2006, and the appointive year starts on July 1st, there was complete silence on my end. All I remember was his saying the name Westwood, and I figured at the time that I had misheard him. When I thought of Westwood, it was with great reverence and admiration for the history of this church and for the steady stream of pulpiteers who stood where I am standing right now, and I think my initial response was abject fear and trembling. Now, don't get me wrong. By that time, I had been in ordained ministry for 21 years, and I had been working in local churches for probably 27 years at that point. You see, I knew church. I knew complicated church. I knew how to run programs. I knew how to teach. I knew how to organize committees. There was just this one little thing. It had never been my job to be the preacher. So, as you might imagine, my thoughts at the time, in addition to fear, included a great amount of skepticism. Well, I had my introductory meeting with the group that was then the staff parish committee at Eloise Siskill's home. Some of you remember that meeting, don't you? And the rest, friends, is our shared history for the last 13 years. We decided to walk the path together, and for me, it has been and will be one of the best journeys of my lifetime. Now, some would suggest that the notions of faith and journey have become cliché, and while I suppose that is the case, I don't care. You'll have to indulge me today, because you see, I know of no better way to describe what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It is a path. It is a journey. It's a choice among many that we might make. So when I was thinking about what to say on this last Sunday as your pastor, when all of these things were going through my mind immediately turned to one of the more prominent journeys that is a part of our scriptural heritage. It's what we refer to as the road to Emmaus. You may know the story. You heard a portion of it again this morning. Some of Jesus' followers were on the road, and they were trying to sort through in their minds all the things that had happened in Jerusalem, most notably the arrest, the trial, and the execution of Jesus. Then there were these strange stories that were milling about, stories that were saying that He was not dead after all, but that he, Jesus, had come back to life. So while they were on the road, as the story tells us, they met up with a stranger. That's what the gospel writer tells us, and we know who that stranger turned out to be. It turned out to be Jesus. And they, of course, were quite aware of this, of his identity, of just who this traveling companion was. And it was after a great deal of frustrated conversation among them walking that road to Emmaus. and a final act that we were told where he was breaking bread among them that they knew. They knew. They knew that they too had just experienced in the most unlikely place, in the most unlikely situation, the risen Christ. And friends, it changed them. It changed the path that they chose to take. Their eyes had now been opened. These followers of Jesus were now on a new trajectory, a new path. You see, I believe that this is a story to which each one of us can deeply relate. We have all been in the place of the travelers. Sometimes we are worn out with the ups and the downs that are life. We sometimes wonder. We sometimes have our doubts, and that is why we are here, I imagine, because of those doubts, because of those questions, because of our need and our desire to touch the holy. We want to make, we yearn to make a better sense of life and just how convoluted and confusing it can be at times. You see, we are here because we want to be in relationship with others. And somewhere along our life path, we decided that walking with others who had this same yearning was the way to go. I was a young adult. My family probably remembers this, when something really struck me about this story of Jesus and the possibility of what it meant to live out life in a faith community. For some strange reason, the message of grace, the message of forgiveness, the message of unconditional love, which was and is still at the core of Jesus' teaching, grabbed me. And it compelled me in a way that I never expected would happen. Truly, this cornerstone that the builders rejected that we talked about, that became my reference point. It became my touchstone. It became my guide for what I wanted my life to be. And this journey has been filled with some pretty amazing experiences. Far too many to recount. And while there are some, like all of us, that I would just as soon forget, there are far more of them that have made an impress upon my life in ways that have lifted my spirit, in ways that have given me courage, in ways that have pointed me to the fact that there is always, always possibility. Through my career, I've seen lots of stuff, lots of opportunities, and so many sidebars that can distract and pull one away from the central truth of who we are and what we are called to be. I have seen the wider church do some amazing, amazing things. And like so many of you, I grieve. I grieve over the way that the humanness of this institution continues to inflict harm on God's children, as is the case for any institution. I have to say that I never expected, while I'm approaching the finish line as a pastor in the local church, to see our United Methodist Church at a place where the seams have completely unraveled, and the reality of our staying together as a denomination looks to be impossible. It is disheartening, to say the least, to have invested so much of one's life into a movement and to wonder if it will even be here in a few years. Yes, it could be enough for anyone to look at it and say, I'm done. I'm finished. But isn't that when we seem to keep having these Jesus moments, those moments which pull us out of our funk and those times when there seems to be that clear voice saying to us, I need you. I need you to continue. I need you to continue to live into what is the hope for this world, to love God with your whole being and to love your neighbor as self. Isn't that the cornerstone for living life the way that God intended? If that isn't it, I don't know, friends, what is. And that is the real power of Jesus' message to us. We may get confused along the journey. Our vision may be clouded, just like those travelers on the road to Emmaus. But friends, when we return to the cornerstone, when we return to Jesus, our vision clears. Our vision clears. When we choose to take the path where Christ is cornerstone, when we embrace the ideal to love God and to love neighbor, it seems like the course corrections are going to be able to take place. And that, I believe, is going to be our biggest challenge ahead for this church and for any church, for that matter, to remember our reason for being, to remember who we are. We are people who are Jesus followers. I believe that the congregation here at Westwood is going to be an important part of what is to come for the church, what the conversations will be for what the church is to come. This is a place that has always been willing to innovate. This is a place that has always been forward-looking, something which has always impressed me about this community and is something that never, never should be taken for granted. It really is something quite remarkable when a place, when a community can celebrate the past, but continue to believe that the best is always ahead. I am confident that the next step of the journey for this community of faith will be exciting, surprising, and fulfilling. And while I will not be accompanying you on that journey, you have a wonderful person who will be your pastor. Her name, as you know, is Molly, and she brings with her most significant gifts. She will be the next one to share in your hurts and your hopes. She will be there to teach, to lead, to preach. She is the one who will be here to baptize, to memorialize, to conduct weddings, to do all those things to which she has been called, those things for which God has gifted her, and I believe God is placing her here. Friends, I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge with gratitude individuals here this morning who have kept me focused on this journey, even when it seemed the distractions would get the better of me. My family is here today. They have a habit of all of them being here on first Sundays and last Sundays, and we're continuing that tradition. These are the people who have been my cheerleaders for my entire life, as well as those people who speak honestly and forthrightly. My kids have been patient and have handled being PKs with such grace. Most important, Linda, my partner in crime for all these years, 38 and counting, her hope initially had been to get me to go to church. She had never planned on this. And she has provided grace-filled support and love. The deeper and deeper I dove into all of this. There are mentors and colleagues in the places who have I have served, and they've been lifelong friends. Many of them have now joined that church triumphant. And I can't say enough thank yous to all of you who are the volunteer leaders and are the backbones of this place. Then there is the staff here at Westwood. I can be a frustration to them, they can be a frustration to me, but they are absolutely the best. And one of the things I've always said is I will never hire a person who's a yes person. I want people with strong personalities. And guess what? I got what I wanted here in the staff at Westwood. They're the best people, the best group I've ever had the pleasure to work with. So I say thank you, and please forgive me if I miss anybody. But the ones who have been around me for the long time here, I say thank you to Kathy and to Chris and to Sabrina, to Andrew, to Linda Braven, to Pablo, to Glenn, to Jean, and many more of you who are newer here to the Westwood team that have made all the difference in the world and have made it possible for me to stick to it. And finally, friends, I say thank you to all of you. To all of you for being receptive and supportive of our shared ministry, our ministry together. It has been an incredible privilege to be a follower of Jesus in your midst. I have learned much from you, and I am confident that our striving to love God and neighbor has made a difference in our lives, and it has made and will continue to make a difference in the community that surrounds us. So, friends, the truth of the journey is that no matter the route, no matter the companions, it is always undergirded by God's love and God's grace. Thanks be to God for all that has been done and that which is to come. Amen.
Gracious God, we thank you for your church, the living embodiment of Christ, empowered by your Spirit to love the world as you do. We thank you for the brave souls who serve. We thank you for pastors and leaders, and we thank you for John. We thank you that their calling is holy, and it's the good work, the challenging work, the nurturing work of ordering your people that we celebrate today. You've composed a rich and diverse covenantal communion here among us, displaying a wide variety of skills and passions, of backgrounds, of ages, of nationalities, from all walks of life and all seasons of life. This morning, we are palpably reminded of the changing of those seasons. You are the bringer of rain and of spring, of renewal. You are the bringer of change, leading your called into new places and new endeavors. We thank you for this call. We thank you for this bringing of change and all that it means as you continue to grow us. May John continue to serve in your kingdom in renewed ways, contributing to energies and expertise that the years have brought, and showing us a pathway of a new church to come. We also recognize that we're not only losing a pastor, we're losing a family. Family that has cared for us, nurtured us, been with us through this great many years. We thank you for your presence during all of this, in this family, in this leader, and in this community of this church. Bless Linda and these changes. Grant her a vision for the journey ahead, and confidence in the new adventure that they embark on together. Even in the midst of our gratitude, we acknowledge the anxiety and sadness that departing brings to us. We acknowledge these because love requires it. To love means to risk, means to lose sometimes. But may we never say goodbye, for love is greater than these things. May we say, Godspeed, and we will see you in a while. We thank you, God, for these stories together that you have intertwined like fabric. May they not be torn apart. And as John and the family embark, would you remind them, as he has reminded us this morning, to live in the hope that you are to this world? May they embark upon sharing the love of Christ with all they come in contact with, using words only when necessary. Open their eyes to new interpretive possibilities and fill them with a new zeal to preach your word, to teach its good news, and to embodiment in their example of Christ-like love. We give thanks for all that you have done in and through the faithfulness of our pastor and of all the people who have assembled through this community in the years that have come. We thank you for Westwood. We thank you for this space. May we continue to serve as a living expression of your love, made real for all to experience. May all of us be led by the one whom you sent for our sake, Jesus the Christ, who is the head of the church, and in whose name we pray this morning, and as we join together, saying the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The late Rachel Held Evans talked about ministry being the space where you give your gifts and that you share them together, and the pastor is inviting us to go first. This is the space where we share that in all the ways that we have abundance in the world. As our ushers come forward, this is the time when we share our tithes and offerings together as one community.
Traveling till my road comes to an end. I'm out here on this journey trying to make the most of it. I'm a puzzle, I must figure out where all my pieces fit. Like a poor wayfaring stranger that they speak about in song. I'm just a weary pilgrim trying to find what feels like home. Where there is no one can tell me, am I doomed to ever roam? I'm just traveling, 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 I'm just traveling on. Questions I have many, answers but a few. But we're here to learn, the spirit burns to know the greater truth. We've all been crucified and they nailed Jesus to the tree. And when I'm born again, you're gonna see a change in me. God made me for a reason and nothing is in vain. Redemption comes in many shapes with many kinds of pain. Oh, sweet Jesus, if you're listening, keep me ever close to you. I'm just traveling, 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 I'm just traveling through. I'm just traveling, 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 I'm just traveling through. I'm just traveling, 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 I'm just traveling through. Oh, sometimes the road is rugged and it's hard to travel on. But holding to each other, we don't have to walk alone. When everything is broken, we can mend it if we try. We can make a world of difference. If we want to, we can fly. Goodbye, you little children. Good night, you handsome men. Farewell to all you ladies and who all who knew me when. And I hope I'll see you down the road. You meant more than I knew. As I was traveling, 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 as I was traveling through. I'm just traveling, 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 I'm just traveling. drifting like a floating boat and roaming like the wind. Oh, give me some direction, Lord. Let me lean on you as I'm traveling, 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 traveling through. I'm just traveling, 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 traveling through. I'm just traveling, 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 traveling through. Like the poor, well-fanged stranger that they speak about in song. I'm just a weary pilgrim trying to find their way home. Sweet Jesus, if you're out there, keep me ever close to you. As I'm traveling, 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 as I'm traveling through.
Scary part.
What could go wrong
so much.
Give your subordinates microphones to ask you anything they want on your last day. What could go wrong?
Okay, Chris.
All right. So we wanted to take a few minutes to have a little dialogue discussion, because this now is new territory. Mm-hmm. And we're looking ahead in a minute. But before we do that, you came into my office this week and brought some pictures.
Yeah.
From Pasadena First United Methodist Church. Yeah. It was just a minute ago, a few years. Yeah. And things looked different. Like, how did things look different is the question I want to ponder with you for a moment when you started on this journey.
Oh, man.
Maybe even better, how did you look different?
That's really the answer he wants.
So the pictures I brought Chris to look at that day were at a dinner and a retreat when I still had hair and when I went through the beard phase that we guys seem to go through. Family, you remember the beard phase, right? And it was finally vanity that took that away, because it was turning so many colors I couldn't stand looking at it in the mirror. So I know that I have changed, but I think... one of the changes I've seen the most, and I guess the gift of longevity over something, is to see how culture has changed around us. And one of the biggest areas for stretching, for concern, for hope, is the way faith communities roll in the community and in people's lives has changed so much in this time. When I was being trained for ministry, the assumption was a congregation that you would be working with, regular attendance in a congregation was considered to be 3 or 4 Sundays a month. Pretty much that was just the norm, and that was the expectation. And now when you look at the statistics, culture has changed a bit, that we now consider once a month to be regular attendance. And that's been a real challenge as a pastor, to figure out how do we as a church and as leaders in the church navigate what for us is new territory, because we were trained in saying community is something where we are there all the time, and that's how community is built, and that's how it functions. So that's been a big change.
Yeah, now community happens out there.
Community happens out there. The church is not necessarily the nexus or the center of it anymore. So I think the challenge for any faith community is, how do we still make this core to who we are,
but in a very different shape,
even knowing it's a totally different culture in which we're operating now.
Okay.
So Chris and I have a lot of questions, but we're paring it down. We are very conscious of the time. So I'm only going to ask one, but what is your one piece of advice to us as we, as a congregation, go forward?
It's the same piece of advice I've had since day one. Change is the only constant. When I think of the changes that I have gone through personally, the changes that happen in a congregation, that's the only thing we can guaranteed, is that things are going to change. And like I said today, the reason I can deal with the change is I know that God's grace is there. And you two have been real reminders of that to me, that grace being there.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, once you said amen over there, you're off the clock.
I am off the clock.
Oh, come on, Chris. We haven't been listening to him for a long time anyway. Let's just be honest.
You're Your bags are packed. You're ready. You can say whatever.
There's a song about bags are packed. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, man, I'm dating myself. Just consider this like public truth or dare. You can say whatever. You can just come out with we want you to just lay it. So what's the question? The question is, we have a lot of turmoil going on around us in the church world of the United Methodism. And what do you see ahead? If you could chart a road. Now, I know Molly's coming in and is going to chart a vision for this place. I'm not asking you to supersede that. I'm asking in the global perspective, how we're connected, what do you see as the road ahead? No holds barred.
Make it short, yeah. Well, the road ahead is going to be dependent on our resurrecting our ability to listen, our ability to love, and our ability to strip away all the garbage that the institutional church has piled on top of Jesus' message over two millennia. I think the answer is right there in front of us. You know, when I was struggling with what I was going to preach on, Kathy, you had told me that day, do what you've always done, which is say, Jesus is the cornerstone. That's what it's all about. I really think if we get back to the task of following Jesus and not following our fears and not following our insecurities, there's going to be potential and there's going to be possibility. The church of the future that I see is one that is not going to be so tightly bound. It's going to be a little bit more free-formed. I think there's still going to be accountability that's involved, but I imagine the church of the future, at least for those of us that fill a place like this, is going to have a somewhat looser structure, but it's still going to be focused on our reason for being. You know, we come here because we want to touch the holy so that we can go out in the world and make a difference. And I think we just need to really get back to that task instead of the stuff that we seem to be worrying about. Rules are not going to be the solution, and more rules certainly aren't going to be the solution.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a few folks I want to invite up now that are going to be, we contacted to ask to speak to John's life, his leadership, and his ministry here with us. Come on up, Paul. Come on, Carrie. I see you guys. Judy's right here somewhere. And you're going to come up here, and we've asked them to prepare some remarks and talk about some of their perspectives as they shared time here. So would you come up? We're going to set you up here to speak to John.
Okay, John. What a journey we have had with a steady hand on the tiller and courage to remind us why we're here to live, to try to live as Jesus would like us to live. You and the whole family have truly become such a part of this community, and we are all going to miss you in a lot of different ways and in a lot of different places. The first thing I think I need to talk about is you're not just the man in the pulpit or the boss in the office or the officiant at happy baptisms and weddings and sad memorial services. You have been so much more integrated in this community, and the most important or valuable thing to me is your participation, not only you but the whole family in music in this church. You are a stalwart in the bass section. I just don't know. And throughout the years, Linda has sung, and Linda will miss your oboe. The kids have all participated in the choir. We've heard them play their instruments. I kind of miss that, but life goes on. But the richness that you have brought with your openness to all kinds of wonderful music, and to encourage your family, and thank you, family, for being so involved in the music program. The other thing about being in the choir kind of leads into my next little bit, which is because you are in the choir, we get to have parties at the parsonage. And the creations that you make for us and the family, and to enter into your house, into your home at a holiday, Halloween is unbelievable. But Christmas is beyond the pale. It is, and I always thought I was pretty good at Christmas decor. It is a real inspiration, and I thank you and Linda for encouraging the kids to be such a part of the culinary feast that we have had as a whole congregation. You've opened your home so many times, and we all look forward to it. And that leads to another little bit. Bob and I have so enjoyed our times with you and Linda at the Hollywood Bowl. I have to tell you, a lot of the conversation we have before those Tuesday evenings between Bob and me involve, what do you think John is going to bring for the picnic? So I thank you for that. And then the other thing that I've been, and I think we all have been so moved by, is your artistic sensibility. I talked about the home, but when you walk into this sanctuary and see things like the chapel, I'll never forget walking in one morning and John was, he had a big long pole and he was hanging the crosses that he made and assembled, and I think, I'm sure he had some help from the folks at home, but this, and then the boldness to brighten up this sanctuary, it is a different place now, and I we all really appreciate your artistic sensibilities that have brought this to us. And then finally, we are going to miss you, and we wish you Godspeed. The CalPAC, where are we going? The CalPAC Methodist Foundation is going to be far richer, and will have that hand on the tiller and the guidance and the courage to say what needs to be said in a loving, very loving, kind, open way. Thank you so much, John. And thank you. Thank you all.
Well, John, this is a very important moment for all of us. We really appreciate everything you've done for our congregation. I want to say personally on a couple of notes. One is your officiating at my father's funeral was so meaningful to our family. We really appreciated the way you handled that. I think anybody who's been through the loss of a close loved one knows the importance of a pastor who provides strength and guidance in that very difficult time. And secondly, during the last moments of Doreen's mom, when you came to the hospital and held our hand and gave us a message of strength, it was very meaningful to us. I got the privilege of serving with John, chair of the church council for a couple of terms, and dealt with all the things that came in front of the church council with you. And we were privileged to have a pastor like you who is caring and loving for the congregation and also business savvy, right? Understanding the issues that come before a church, the HR issues, the budget issues, the deficits, and all the things that you had to deal with. And you really were very, very helpful in helping and guiding us through that. One of the memorable things I wanted to bring up is the retreat we had at Church Council when we talked about the growth of the church in the future and planned and talked about the loft and the creation of the loft. And I remember the moment when we talked about your request to perform same-sex weddings, and how moving it was to the all of us to have a unanimous vote by the church council to support your decision to have and perform same-sex weddings here, despite the fact it was at risk of the book of discipline and the church hierarchy and all of that. So it really was a very moving time. I guess the thing I wanted to bring up is John's understanding of business was so critical to how we negotiated the Belmont ground lease extension. We needed to have that resolved. And John, we were so helpful in thinking about the issues, helping us get through them, understanding the way to get a deal done. Not everybody does that. And you did a great job of guiding us through those negotiations. And then related to that is when we got the fund from Belmont, I thought to him, you know, John, you understand budgets, you understand numbers, you understand deficits, and you understand the cost of maintaining this facility. So you came up with this idea, which we all embraced, of a rainy day fund, where we would set aside money from the Belmont funds that would be available to provide for the ongoing maintenance and repair of these beautiful facilities forever. And the whole idea is that we'll use those funds as a piggy bank and then have the money be repaid out of the Belmont lease in the following period. And you did a great job. We owe you a debt of gratitude on that. I just have one criticism of you. Uh-oh. It's your choice of universities. And it's a very controversial decision to wear a USC hat in this sanctuary. So I want to give you my blessing, say how wonderful. Don't do that, John. I want to thank you again for all the leadership you've shown and the love and care. And I know the next step of your career, you're going to bring great skills to that. So thank you.
So it's a raw week. It's a raw week. Just with everything that's going on, and our son is graduating at the end of the week. So there's a lot of emotion right now, and I'm just going to go through it. But I had to write it down. I had to write everything down. So, you know, excuse me for reading, because otherwise, I'm going to sit.
Ahead.
All right. Thank you. Crying is powerful. Tears are good. Yeah. So as many of you have heard, our family tells some version of our Westwood origin story, that we came to this denomination by way of my very methodical search for a church home that would not betray our values. But that we chose Westwood because Maxwell said we couldn't visit another church. But that's the fun and easy story that we like to tell, but it really belies why we stayed here at Westwood. John, you were only about 2 months into your appointment here at Westwood, which we didn't know at the time, when we arrived with our energetic 5-year-old and a 9-month-old baby in tow. So it wasn't really a given that this church was going to be the right fit, because you were still getting acclimated to the church community, and it wasn't really clear that this community was right for us. But it didn't take long for you to impress us with your pastoral leadership and with your good stewardship of this community, and that your continued appointment here became the embodiment of what a remarkable community Westwood Church really is. After I was asked to talk about you, I really struggled with sort of focusing on exactly what I was going to say and picking just a few things that really were representative of what you have meant to me personally and to our family. And so I decided I was just going to settle on a very lawyerly number of three to make it really easy. Methodical. <Yes. laughs> Very methodical. So I'm going to first start off with your sermons. The very first sermon that we heard you preach on a Sunday in August in 2006, you combined this eclectic mix of pop culture references and scripture and philosophy that really piqued our interest. And not only to your approach in leading, but also in how receptive the congregation was to you and to your sermons. The variety and depth of sources and references were intellectually stimulating and interesting, but they weren't haughty or inaccessible. More times than I can count, I have come to church with an issue weighing on my mind and my heart, and you coincidentally, or maybe not so coincidentally, delivered a sermon that was right on point, usually with a take on scripture that set me on a settling and contemplative path to help me get through the week. It happened so many times. Second, your appreciation for music, as Judy talked about, has been another important unifying attribute of your tenure here. While I've served in several different leadership positions in this community, I've had the opportunity to work with you as part of teams overseeing various aspects of the music program, and it gave me a better understanding of your appreciation for the role music plays in the worship experience and in one's spiritual journey. Whether weaving in the connection between the music and the liturgy, holding down space in the choir, promoting and supporting music as an element of the worship experience, including bringing in your family as contributing members, your leadership over music has served as an enriching add for our family here at Westwood. But I have to say that the way in which you have impacted me and our family the most was by deftly balancing your responsibilities of pastor, spiritual guide, and steward of our community. Our family was a mixture of church experience. Elliot was raised in Presbyterian Church, where his family were fixtures in all aspects of church life. Maxwell was baptized in that church, but we knew that that was not the right home for our family. Laurel and I both were unbaptized, so we knew that our church search was not only to find a suitable place to worship, but also to baptize our daughter. And it wasn't the motivation for me necessarily to get baptized. It was really about making our children of Christ. And after that initial choosing, at Maxwell's behest, of Westwood, it was you who really helped our family decide to set roots here and make Westwood our home. You reached out to our family early to welcome us as new members. And that led not only to us baptizing Laurel here, but it really informed my decision and led me to decide to become baptized as well at the same time. And then after that, you recommended and encouraged, voluntold us, I like to say, to serve in a variety of leadership positions in church council, which we accepted sometimes hesitantly, but I have to say have always served, you know, really in a fulfilling way. Personally, you supported me in exploring the dynamics of the UMC conference and also as service as a delegate representative of Westwood. You helped me to reconcile some really difficult decisions and themes of the church and positions of the church, which I still struggle with today. But you were always encouraging and always supportive of those struggles. And you may not know this, but you've been a mentor to me about what it means to be a good steward in a community, not just in the church community, but also in the nonprofit world. And you've also really impressed upon me the importance of continuously learning how to care for an institution and how to work with the people in that community to serve it best. I know, it's a lot of words. I had a lot on my heart. But I have to say, for me personally, it's really been so touching how you've listened and responded so patiently as I explored and questioned the meaning of being a Christian in these times. You've never been intrusive or pushy. You always listen and provided guidance, insisting that direction comes from the individual in her own decision-making process. You've never been judgmental of questioning, and that has been so important. You've never made me feel bad for my struggles with reconciling this Christian life that I have chosen. You've managed to lean into the questions, not suggesting that you had answers, but instead helping me to understand that my questions were representative of the depth of my faith and also of my responsibility to being a participating member in this community. I want to just finish up by saying, John, thank you for answering the call to serve in this community, and thank you for accepting the responsibility for being a mentor, a pastor, a spiritual leader, and a guide on our faith journey here at Westwood. Although you are sending us on the road without you, know that you will always be here. You'll always be a guiding voice and a presence in our lives, and for that, we will always be thankful.
I'd like to invite Kenny to come up and the children that are presenting the gift to Pastor John. So Kenny and the children that have been chosen to present the gift, come on up. Yes.
All right, and Denise.
Oh, and Denise. Okay. Here. In addition, before we start, we would like to invite the Woodall family to come up. Linda, Elizabeth, Peter, Mark. The Woodall family has meant so much to us. I think John referred to the PKs, the pastor's kids, but these three have never acted like pastor's kids. They've always acted like part of our community. And I can say a lot of things about all of the three Woodall children, but I will have to tell you that Elizabeth has been my sanity many, many times. So I thank you, all of the Woodall family. And so first, the children would like to present what they made for the Woodalls. We know that the Woodalls are moving back to their home, and so we made them stepping stones to put in their backyard. Each one of our classes, including our grapplers, did this. Yeah. All right, Kenny?
Ready?
Where's Kenny? Yeah, go for it.
We're here. Yeah, well, thank you. We're here to share a few more gifts with the family. I'm Kenny Cruz, Denise Fries, and we're here from the SPRC, Staff Parish Relations. You might say it's tough to follow all the kids and the other comments that have been given and shared here today, because we really represent the bureaucracy. and so sometimes, you know, being appointed to the committee is a real chore. And you have made the task one that has been graceful. You've provided wisdom and leadership. And then, you know, there are tough times like a transition in a church where it's difficult to be part of that because we see things happening. And we wish you would stay, but here we are. And so you know, but then we bring gifts. The word goes out to the congregation that it's time for gifts. And what we have, there'll be other gifts, but one thing we want to just share with you at this moment is a memory book. And it is a collection of you. And it's astounding to see the... Oh, wait, don't get too hasty.
Okay.
That's right. You know, save that for like a quiet moment.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it won't melt in the meantime. It's going to be fine. And it is really, it's a reflection of the greater community, because it is your creative contributions. We could see how many lives you affected in many ways. And then it's the loving labors of members of the congregation who have come together to do this, not me, Denise. And others, and there's a note in there, so you'll know whose loving hands have provided this beautiful work. And so really, it's a reflection of the many lives of you and your family and how you have meant many different things and have served so many roles for all of us, and we thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now we'd like to move on to the Community of Faith Goes Out to Serve.
There is a time to give thanks. For the times of challenge and hardship, for the times of tiredness and distress, for the times of solidarity and justice with peace.
We give thanks.
For the times of unfinished business and uncertainty, for the times of failure and disappointment, for the times of heartbreak and loss, we give thanks.
For the times of joy and elation, for the times of connection and wonder, for the times of community and healing.
We give thanks.
This is a time to remember, a time to invite spirit, a time to celebrate, a time to shed tears, a time to notice your heart, a time to move on, a time to let go, a time to breathe deeply, a time to trust, a time to retire.
We give thanks.
Please join me in prayer. For all that has been in these full years of ministry, we say thank you.
Thank you, God, who holds us gently.
For all the funerals led, people visited, lives mourned. For all the new lives welcomed, thanksgivings and baptisms celebrated. For all new relationships blessed and marriages marked. For new members welcomed, elders ordained, churches and communities sustained. For all sermons and prayers written, songs and hymns chosen, liturgies crafted, connections with news, and everyday life woven together. For all communities and organizations supported, stories listened to and held with care and confidence, for kingdom work unnoticed and hard to measure, I give thanks.
For all faith companions who have inspired and nurtured John, we give thanks. For all who have been ministered to, with, and alongside, we say thank you to God, who continues to call us in Jesus to share good news. We hear the call of Jesus to be and share good news. Amen.
Friends, God calls us to go out into the world to be the faces, the voices of peace and justice and hope. So friends, go from this place today knowing that you are called and knowing that you are loved. And may that same love be with all those you love wherever they may be, now and forevermore. Amen.